time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Happy Sabbath, everyone, and welcome to worship. It is the Sabbath, the 27th of May. May God bless each one of you today. This is a blessing to be with you, and we are going to have a wonderful worship together. We will have Sabbath worship as well as in the Divine Worship Hour at 12, so we will not be having the wellness segment of the broadcast on today. However, we're moving forward on this beautiful Sabbath day. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Eternal Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time to come together on your Sabbath day and to have worship. We ask for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. As always, we pray that you would grant us your wisdom and your grace as we allow your word to feed us this morning. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about lift up your head, your redemption is nigh.
Amen. As we study Acts 15, our topic is why conferences and independent ministries are not finishing the work. Why conferences and independent ministries are not finishing the work. You see, my brothers and sisters, we're going to see some things even right in the first verse. They're very, very important for us. So let's just dig right in after prayer. Father, we just summons the Spirit of the living God. And as the Spirit comes, we want to offer all the praise and honor and glory and majesty to you. We bless your name this morning. For you told us to. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So we bless your holy name today. We recognize that you are sovereign, and we can't even fathom your greatness, but we try. And we are better for the effort. We pray that you will be with us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, it begins in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, by saying, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Okay, so we titled this message, Why Conferences and Independent Ministries Will Not Finish the Work. Now, the work's going to be finished. It's just that when you have pride of opinion that is so great that whatever you teach, you're not willing to bring it before other brethren to see if it lines up with Scripture, you're not going to finish the work. Now, you're going to preach. You're going to affect a lot of people. You're going to influence a lot of people, but you're not going to finish the work because the character of your work is not going to have the stamp of the character of Christ nor of the apostles in the book of Acts, okay? So that's why. So when you think about large organizations, large churches, conferences, so on and so forth, they have their own rules. We make up rules. We say, you got to do this. You've got to do this. Don't listen to that. Beware of this. And we don't check and say, is what we're saying in harmony with the thus saith the Lord? So let me take you right now, brothers and sisters, to Matthew, the book of Matthew. And in the book of Matthew, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 15. And as we look at verse 7, the Bible says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, the reason why the work's not being finished is that character development is not being done. A lot of preaching's being done, a lot of people being taught about end time events or being taught about stay in the conference or being talked about don't stay in the conference or being taught about what's going on in the world. And I'm not in any way saying we should know what is going on in the world. What I am saying to you, brothers and sisters, is that the only thing we can take into the kingdom of heaven is character. And there is a lack of character development because of the pride of leadership, both in ministries and in the conference, my friends, and that's why they're not finishing the work. We come up with our own rules. We teach things that we cannot substantiate. We mistreat people. We ignore people. We're not like Jesus as we ought to be, and we're too proud to say, I messed up and I'm sorry. See, that's the problem. David was a man after God's own heart, not because he didn't mess up. Matter of fact, he committed murder and adultery. He was a man after God's own heart because he humbled himself. That's the difference between the ministry today, both in the conference and out of the conference for the most part, and David. They won't do what David did, said, I messed up. I'm the man. I deserve to die. That's what David did, and he meant it, and he was repentant, okay? It says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There's a lot of things that are taught these days, brothers and sisters, that you will not be able to substantiate in the Bible. You will not be able to substantiate in the Bible that you have to stay in a particular organization in order to be saved. It's not in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the organization that Jesus started, the major organization, was called the Jewish Nation, and the faithful had to come out of that in order to be saved. That's the whole point of the Pharisees. You can't be saved unless you're with us. Those who've left us have left the faith. They've left the ark of safety. You see, we have that same mindset today. And the same principles that operated back then are the same principles that operate today. Let me share something with you. Most people may not have heard before. I want to read something from the Spirit of Prophecy here. Now, if you don't know what the Spirit of Prophecy is, please reach out to me because I will be happy to share that with you. But I will tell you it is in the Bible. And that's important for you to recognize. The Spirit of Prophecy is mentioned in the Bible. The Bible says that the last day movement, the last day church, will keep all the commandments and will have the testimony of Jesus in Revelation 12:17. And then it says in Revelation 19:10 that the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of Prophecy. And then in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, says the testimony of Christ is a gift given to the people who are waiting for the coming of the Lord. When you put all those together, the end time people will have a special gift of prophecy, post-biblical, but it will agree with the Bible. Why? Because we know the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, that the verse 32, that the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So any true spirit of prophecy would be in agreement with the Bible. There's a misunderstood quote where it is said that the writings of a particular individual that God blessed were the lesser light leading to the greater light. So some people interpret that to mean that, okay, well, I just need to stick with the greater light. The lesser light is less important, okay? That's not what that means. Lesser light, greater light is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, and it says God made two great lights, the sun to rule the day, the moon to rule the night. And then in the book of Job, it tells us that the moon does not have its own light but walks in the brightness of the sun. We know that from astronomy also. The moon is lightless. It is a reflector of light, okay? So moonlight, which is the lesser light, if you could follow the trajectory of the light, it would bounce off from the earth, it would bounce off the moon, and you'd be heading toward the sun if you want to get to the source of the light. So when Ellen White said she's the lesser light leading to the greater light, her words are still light. She's just reflecting Bible truth in a dark day. So because the Bible has been so obscured that we needed some more plain, more modern revelations to wake us up to get back to the Bible, my friends. So it is not a diminishing of the authority. That statement is not that, of how people interpret it. And as a matter of fact, a major conference has basically given up the fact that that was a word of authority. The bottom line is God still has prophets, can have prophets today. And guess what? If God is speaking through them, that's the word of God, friends. They just need to be tested by the word of God, okay? So we're talking about why conferences and independent ministries are not finishing the work, because they're not teaching character development. We have our own ideas, and we have some things that are not biblical. I can give you one. Some people believe and teach that, you know, two people who are married and one commits adultery, repents, might have done it many, many years ago, whatever the case might be, then they teach that, okay, if there's ever a divorce, the other person doesn't want that person, they teach that only one of them can get married. I just want to say, I'll give you $1,000. I'll give you $1,000,000, and I don't have either right now. I'm going to tell you, you can't prove that from the Bible. It's just not there. We've made that up. It's totally a figment of our pharisaical imagination, okay? It's what it is. And I challenge you, if you can find it, you got that $1,000, you got that $1,000,000 coming, but I can tell you it's not there, my brothers and sisters. I had one preacher tell me that when I asked him if he could show from the Word of God what he had been teaching, he said, well, in the Old Testament, a person who committed adultery was stoned to death. So so this was his reasoning. Therefore, their sexual organ should be put to death. Now, that's the reasoning of a preacher who preaches present truth, okay? So I wrote to him, and I said, okay, guess what? I didn't say guess what. I was very respectful. I said, A person who was disobedient to his parents was also put to death in the Old Testament. So what if we've all been disobedient to our parents? So what organ should die because we were disobedient to our parents? Got to be consistent, okay? A person who was involved in witchcraft. Many people have come out of witchcraft. So what organ, they were put to death. So what organ should die today if you're if you've come out of witchcraft? Something's got to die. You've got to be consistent, you see? And so, my brothers and sisters, we just sometimes teach things that are just not in the Bible. If it was in the Bible, I would submit to it, but it's not in the Bible. I want to repeat, it's not in the Bible. And therefore, we marginalize people and we criticize people and we won't have anything to do with people and all kinds of things we do. And we think we're going to heaven, brothers and sisters. That's why God had people like David, who committed all kind of mess and crazy sins, and God used them to be one of the great prophets who wrote the Bible. So it says, in vain do they worship me, verse 9, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. You're teaching something that's restrictive. You're teaching something that you can't prove from the Bible, but you're teaching it as a doctrine, making people feel that they must comply with it or they're not going to be saved. And when you're challenged, and you can't really show scripture, using the example of what I just gave you, Matthew 5 says that when a marriage is ended and it's not on biblical ground, the woman who was divorced by her husband can't get married. Matthew 19 reverses the role. When a marriage is ended and the divorce was not on biblical ground, the man who divorced his wife cannot get remarried. It doesn't say anything about if it's on biblical ground. It doesn't say that. We've made it up. Go there. Check it out. See if I'm telling you the truth. You see, because I'm not going to be accused of teaching as a doctrine the commandments of men. And we have all kinds of things. All your tithe has to go here, or none of your tithe must go here. We have all kinds of things we've just made up, okay? And it's just not in the Word of God, my friend. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So we've just hit the first verse. And you see, they came up with this concept. If you're not circumcised, brothers and sisters, it says you can't be saved. Now, let's talk about circumcision before we go any further. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 4, because circumcision, we might not be teaching that today, but we might have our own little rules of what you must do in order to be saved, okay? That's not in the Bible. Watch this. Look at verse 11. And he received the sign. This is talking about Abraham. The sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness. That's like a symbol of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised. Circumcision didn't bring your salvation. You already had faith in God. You believed, and it was counted unto you for righteousness. But Abraham was given that symbol because, you know, think about circumcision. That's the male organ. It was symbolic of the fact that through his lineage, Christ would come. And that was symbolized. So therefore, it was important in a certain time for them to remember Christ. So yes, it was imposed upon them because it was part of the process and the laws of ordinances that reminded them that a Savior was coming, because it was so easy for them to forget their purpose. And they still forgot it. That's why it says in the book of John, he came unto his own and his own received him not. They had forgotten. The purpose of circumcision was that they would always remember that through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that Jesus would come. And when Jesus came, they had forgotten about it. So you see why God had to give that reminder, okay? It says that he might be the father of them all that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. The Bible is very clear, brothers and sisters. If you go to the book of Colossians, okay, let's go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, and if you start looking at verse 14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Didn't say the Ten Commandments. It says ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When Jesus died on the cross, the devil lost. The cross caused the devil lost. Okay, he lost the war at the cross, and so now he's just fighting delaying actions, trying to get as many people on his side as he can because he's doomed. So stop following him, my friends, because he's doomed. It says, let therefore no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day. Now, people say, okay, see, they're telling you you can't eat pork. Pork wasn't an ordinance, brothers and sisters. That was part of a health message of the Bible. There's nothing in the restriction of eating pork that points forward to a Savior. Okay? It's not there. It says, let no man judge you in meat or in drink. Oh, see, they tell you can't have wine. The Bible says use a little wine. You see, they're telling you a lie, brothers and sisters. The wine in the Bible that was good was grape juice. The Bible says that in Isaiah 65, verse 8. It says, drink the wine in the cluster, for it is a blessing. That's a cluster of grapes. In Proverbs 23, when it moves itself aright, moves itself by itself, that means it ferments. That's why you see the champagne moving, because there's energy through fermentation that's created through the spoilage, and it creates energy. That's why I'm not a drinker, have never been a drinker, but I've seen them pop the cork of a wine bottle and go across the room, okay? That's because energy is building up because of fermentation. That's what the Bible is saying. It says when it's like that, don't even look at it. So the Bible is very clear. This is not talking about when it says, let no man judge you in meat or in drink. You see, there were holy days from which we get the term holiday. Let's go back. The term holiday came from the Bible term holy day, holiday, holy day. They were annual. Some people celebrate Christmas on December 25th. That's a holiday. It's annual. You don't have Christmas every day. Thanksgiving in the end of November, the fourth Thursday in November, a holiday. It's annual. Then you have New Year's Day on January 1, a holiday from the word holy day. It's annual, okay? So there were annual special days that they kept as Sabbath. They were called the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, Passover, unleavened bread, which included the resurrection. You had the Pentecost. You had the Feast of Trumpets. You had the Day of Atonement. You had the Feast of Ingathering, and you had the Feast of Tabernacle. Now, by the way, there's different versions of those seven feasts, and I might not, that's a version that some people accept. It doesn't have to be that version. There are other reckonings, but I'm close, okay? Definitely Passover is in all reckonings. Tabernacles is on all reckonings. Day of Atonement is in all reckonings. And Pentecost is in all reckonings. But some, you know, use a different feast that represents the resurrection, so on and so forth. But there were seven feasts. That's the point. There were seven annual feasts, and they were Sabbaths associated with them. And with those Sabbaths, they had meat offerings. They had drink offerings. Okay, so that's what this is talking about, friends. I'll prove it to you. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. The weekly Sabbath is not annual. It is not one of these that's talked about because it does not bring us to something in the future where it says they were shadows of things to come. The bottom line is the weekly Sabbath that we are on right now, that we're in right now, points back to creation. It doesn't point forward and foreshadow something. It commemorates God's creative power, my friends, and we need that creative power because you can't be saved without the creative power of God because our hearts are corrupt by nature and we need a created clean heart. According to Psalm 51, verse 5, sorry, 51, verse 10, and Ezekiel 36, 26, we need one that's created new. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, the Bible says. And so, my brothers and sisters, the ordinances were done away with at the cross. You don't have to keep the Passover. Now, some people like to have camp meetings on those days. I have no issue. But when you start teaching that God requires that, that's not what the Bible said. It says, let no man judge you in respecting the day. It's not holy anymore. You can do it if you want to, but God doesn't look at it in any way special. It says it's done away with at the cross. That's what the Bible says. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath day, which are shadows of things to come, but the body is of Christ. That's why verse 14 said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. So that means that It's been blotted out. The special significance of those days has been blotted out. You want to keep those days and you want to just, you know, have your camp meetings on there, you're welcome to do so. I don't think that there's any sin in saying we're going to have a camp meeting at this time. But when you teach that it's not blotted out, you're going against the Bible. That's why a lot of these ministries are not going to finish the work, because they just won't submit to the Word of God, my friends. You see, sometimes because we lack character. I say it again, we lack character. We're not kind. We're not loving. We're not patient. We hear things about a person and we just do away with that person, just act like they don't exist, like they fell off the face of the earth, and we think we're going to heaven. We lack character. So in place of character, we got to come up with some religious exercises to make us feel holy. That's what the Pharisees did. And so they had all these new rules, you see, and or we got to have this spiritual experience, and we get into different things, speaking in tongues and different things, and there's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. It's languages. It's given when it's needed. In this day and age, there's so many people who know various languages, so many interpreters. We travel so far and wide that I don't know that there's a need for speaking in tongues. And so it's not this meaningless gibberish and private communication that you don't even know what's coming out of your mouth. We've already studied that in 1 Corinthians 14, and we've been able to prove that that experience in 1 Corinthians 14 is the exact experience in Acts chapter 2. Some verses that are hard to understand are verse 14, where Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. But then they miss the next verse. Therefore, I don't pray that way, the next verse says. I pray with my understanding. So Paul was just giving an if-then type thing. He wasn't saying he gets in his closet and starts whatever and saying it. He said, if I was to pray and I didn't understand, what's that? That's what he's basically saying. He says, what is it? That means what good would that do if I don't even understand what I'm saying? So the very opposite of what Paul is saying is what people are saying. See, Paul prayed in the spirit. No, he did not pray like you're praying. That's a spirit. That's an evil spirit that's come on you. And I'm telling you the truth. Now, you didn't know it was an evil spirit, so now you can study it out and pray about it, because I'm here to tell you people will die on that point. People, we lose friends. I've lost friends because I taught the truth on the tongue-speaking issue, brothers and sisters. And so, but I still must teach the truth. You're not going to be lost on my watch, my friends. No, 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 not on my watch, by the grace of our mighty God. All right, friends, let's go back. We're back in Acts 15. We're talking about why the work's not going to be finished. So the work's going to be finished. It's going to be finished by people who love the Lord, people who love people, people who keep the commandments, but people who show love and kindness and mercy to other people. You don't see that prevalent in conferences, and you don't see it prevalent in independent ministries. Everybody's got their own kingdom, and we build our own kingdom. Let's read the rest of this chapter and see if they were independent kingdom builders or whether they wanted to come in line and they brought things to the brethren to say, hey, how can we? You know, if you're in an independent ministry, who do you go to and say, okay, let's see outside of the people that follow you, let me bounce some things off of you and see how you feel about this. You think that you got it all just because you're getting six-figure donations, seven-figure donations, and you think that everything is that God is blessing you, and you might be doing a work and you're being a blessing to some people, but I'm here to tell you that's not going to be how the work finishes. It's going to be finished by humble people that come together and are willing to even be accountable one to another. Let's read on. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So they were dealing with a doctrinal issue. They didn't just say, forget you, it's my way or the highway. They said, hey, let's come together. Let's pray about this. Let's study this out. Ministry should be coming together on points that are difficult to see. How can we be on one accord in these things instead of me building my own kingdom and you building your own kingdom? That's how the work's going to be finished, with individuals accountable one to another. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Jesus had already died. That was nailed to the cross, and they had to deal with that. But they came together. And even though some believe one thing, some believe another, they came together and submitted themselves to the Lord and to the reasoning of one another to see what is God saying. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. See, they didn't have what we have. I got this ministry over here. I just do my own thing. You got that ministry over there. You just do your own thing. We got the conference over here. We just do our own thing, whatever the conference officials say, whether or not it agrees with the Bible or spirit of prophecy. We don't care. We're just going to push our own agenda. That's why the work's not finished, friends. We're too proud to do what the Bible said and what they did in the Bible. They humbled themselves and they came together and said, are we in line with Scripture? Are we in line with counsel? And there had been wind, there had been much disputing. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So he's talking about the old covenant mindset where they were doing it in their own strength. They weren't able to do it in their own strength. And so they were making this thing that you do required. And it was just something that pointed forward. It was just a sign, a symbol that pointed forward to the fact that Jesus would come through the lineage of Abraham. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders had been wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, I believe that is Simon, as in Simon Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this will I return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. So this brother James brought them back to the Scriptures. It says, what you see Peter doing, what you see Paul and Barnabas doing, here is where it is in the Scriptures. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. In other words, don't put something that just pointed forward to Jesus on them because Jesus has already come. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. You see, there were certain things that dealt with the health message, that dealt with the Ten Commandments that they should not do because it would corrupt their souls. Okay? For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath. Then pleased it the apostles and elders and the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. And the apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as ye have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our brethren, Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good. Now, this is beautiful. Watch this. It's not just what we said. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now watch this. This is New Testament. See, some people believe that you can eat anything. The New Testament takes away all restrictions of pork and all restrictions of anything. Watch this. This is New Testament. You don't have to be circumcised, but you do need to do these necessary things, and this is what the Holy Ghost has said. that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood. So those of you who eat chicken, fish, are you draining all the blood? And you call yourself a New Testament Christian? I promise you, if you drain all the blood, you wouldn't like it because it would be like hard leather-like. But that's what you're supposed to do if you're going to eat meat, if you're going to eat flesh. You're not supposed to eat flesh offered to idols. You're not supposed to eat blood, things strangled, fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare ye well. So the bottom line is he was not saying that everything Moses wrote was wrong. He was saying that there are some things that are polluted, and we don't need to eat them. Now, pork wasn't even on the table. They weren't even eating pork, brothers and sisters, back then. That was not their problem. So that's why it may not have been mentioned here. But the bottom line is that's a corrupting. He gave examples of things that are corrupting. The toxins in the blood of an animal further corrupt the flesh of that animal, so it should all be drained. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. You see, John, which is John Mark, had been with Paul and Barnabas, and he left because he got scared. Okay? But so when it was time to do another one, Paul and Barnabas didn't agree that John Mark should go. Barnabas said, who was more patient and willing to nurture, was willing to work with John Mark. Paul was like, nuh-uh, he left us. I'm not taking them with me. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So does this mean that we're going to agree on everything? No. As individuals, Paul and Barnabas did not agree. But it was not a doctrinal thing. The doctrinal things they brought together to the brethren. You can still have a difference. You still have individuality. Now, in this case, it's going to be proven that Paul was wrong, and Barnabas, being the more patient and nurturing, was right. And it will be further taught later in the book of Acts that Paul got it right, and he accepted John Mark, and John Mark blessed him and ministered to him, and Paul said positive words about the ministry of John Mark. So sometimes we can be impatient with each other. God is calling us to have more patience, brothers and sisters. We have to have patience with brethren because everybody's not there yet, and there are people that God can use who have the right heart, but we are impatient. That's what I'm talking about. You see, we have to have the character of Christ. The character of Christ is loving and kind and patient and benevolent and forbearing, long-suffering. These are the characteristics of Christ. And yet, the truth must go forward. God has to lead, and God has to lead out in the work. And so, my brothers and sisters, I want to say that we have to be like Jesus if we're going to make it in. And if we are like Jesus, we will make it in. And if you want to finish the work, you've got to be a humble vessel and be willing to be accountable to others and to stay with thus saith the Lord and not just try to push a private agenda that is private interpretation of the word of God. And I'm here to tell you, if you do that, you can be one who finishes the work. It's not going to be finished the way you think. It's going to be finished by individuals, brothers and sisters. I don't believe there's any organization with a big name that's going to finish the work, whether that's be a popular independent ministry or a conference, so on and so forth. Now, I'm not saying that they can't contribute to the finishing of the work, and neither am I saying that individuals therein will not finish the work. But I am saying that as I see the work today, I'm not seeing a single organization or a single ministry finishing this work, brothers and sisters. Why? Too much pride. Too much pride. God is going to use humble vessels, humble people that will come together and be accountable one to another by the grace of God. All right, friends, let's close out at this time. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would bless us as we finish this message. We thank you for your love and kindness and tender mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to open the phone lines. If there is anyone that would like to say anything, feel free to. On this Sabbath day, we have North Carolina represented. I'm not sure where our dear individual, Sarker David Patterson, not sure where that individual is from. We have a dear brother that I know very well in Florida. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. On the call, we have North Carolina represented. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware again. Good morning. We have Iowa. That's Iowa. That's right. Iowa represented. We have Oklahoma. We have South Carolina, and we have Georgia. If there's anyone that would like to share anything, press star 6. And we do have Sister Lenny on the line. Let me turn up my volume here, and so Facebook will be able to hear. All right, we'll take Sister Lenny. If there's anyone else, just press star 6. Anyone on Facebook, just type any comments, and we'll read them. Good morning, Sister Lenny. Happy Sabbath.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath to everyone. What were the Bible texts that you gave pertaining to the blood and the meat? The last Bible text that you say.
Yes, we're reading through Acts 15, so that would be around verse 28 and 29, where it said, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost to lay upon us no greater burden, that ye abstain from meat offered to idols and blood," and so on and so forth. Verses 28 and 29 of Acts 15.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything, have a comment, question? Your questions can be agreements. They can be disagreements. We're not going to bite your head off. We're approachable here. We believe that we teach the truth. Therefore, we're not ashamed to be questioned. We want you to be like the noble Bereans and go search the scriptures to see if what we're teaching you is the truth. My friends, that's what we do here at Torso Ministry. By the way, we will be posting this on Facebook as well as on our WhatsApp list, but we have church service at 12. We're going to be talking about a very important topic that we're going to need in these last days, my brothers and sisters. It's called faith. And if you want to join us, the Zoom ID is 557-587-3947. I'll go ahead and type that in to Facebook, 557-587-3947. And so I should say that that is the Zoom ID. Come on, give me the D. That's right. All right. And then the password. It's simply in small letters, Torso. Okay? We will be posting on Facebook a link there, but in case you missed that link, and that's at 12 noon. 12 noon is our service time, and we welcome you to join us at that time, my brothers and sisters. So for those of you who, you know, as we have a little time, some of you who are new, what's been happening at the ministry? Well, my wife and I were assigned by the Lord to care for my mother, who is 92. She passed away the Thursday before Mother's Day. We miss her dearly. She's such a sweet, sweet mother. And at the same time, she fought a good fight and finished her course. People ask how she passed. She could no longer tolerate dialysis. She outlived most people on dialysis. Most people do not survive but 10 years on dialysis. Mom was closer to 20, maybe 17, 18 years going on. And but she just couldn't tolerate it. She was just feeling so weak. They would send her to the hospital after dialysis. So we just made a family decision that she was in harmony with, that we would just keep her home, have family come visit. And hospice came in. Mom never had to open up we didn't have to open up any drugs. No morphine, no nothing. They could have kept that and saved some money because, you know, once they give it to you, they can't take it back. It has to be discarded. She outlived the hospice nurse's expectations by 2+ weeks. They said she would probably pass away within a week. That week passed and another week came. That week passed and another week came. Then she did pass away after the third week, which is an amazing concept. And it was really a powerful testimony of God's truth and health message. But it was her time. The Bible says it's all right to die on your time, but just don't die before your time. Okay, that's what Ecclesiastes 7:17 says. Why should you die before your time is what the Bible says. So my wife and I have been reassigned. We're able to spend more time focusing on health education and health evangelism now. And so our ministry is moving forward. We're going to have more wellness retreats. We're going to have a training school that will be online, and people will have opportunities also to have practical training. We are more free to travel and speak, to do pastoral visits, so on and so forth. And we're moving forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Holy Ghost wants us to do. God the Father wants us to do. That's what the angels want us to do. And I can say with my heart, that's what my dear mother would want us to do. So we're grateful for that privilege. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So that's what we've been doing. We're moving forward, brothers and sisters. And we thank God for your support, for your prayers. That prayer is the biggest support. We also have some who choose to support Torso Ministry financially, and that's a blessing. We are doing God's work. We don't get a check from anybody. That's an organization. We're dependent on the work that we do in ministry and the donations of others who support the work that we do in ministry. So if you'd like to support, let us know. We'll be happy to give you ways to do that. But nonetheless, the most important thing is if you need help in any way, we're here to help in any way that we can, whether that be some counsel, whether that be you coming, whether that be sending you some things, whatever the Lord allows us to do, we're willing to do. So my brothers and sisters, that's true ministry, doing what's needed to help the people. All right, my friends, there's no one else in the queue. We've got about 17 minutes to the, no, we got about 12 minutes to the top of the hour. I read that wrong. So I'll just turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of. That's my Undreamed Of wife. We celebrated 4 years of marriage. Let's see, today is 2 days ago. So I praise God for my wife. She's going to close us out. And remember, at 12 noon, we're on Zoom. Sweet.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. Now we pray that your spirit will continue to be with us throughout these hours of holiness. We thank you for the Sabbath day. And we ask, Lord, that you will continue to help us to be faithful to you. And may we lay everything at the foot of the cross, surrendering all to our Lord who is soon to come. And we pray that you will bless every heart in a special way. Grant us special healings on this day, spiritually, mentally, and physically. For these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive. No, we do a different one on the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy father, nor thy mother, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Closing song, I will trust in the Lord, and we'll see you all at 12 noon.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust.